to protect me from what I can't see. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Somebody's praying for me. Angels watching, I can feel it. Angels watching over me. There's many miles ahead till I get home. Still I'm safely kept before your throne. 'Cause Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Angels are watching over me. Well, I've walked through barren wilderness when my pillow was a stone, and I've been through the darkest caverns where no light has ever shone. Still I went on, 'cause there was someone who was down on their knees. And Lord, I thank you for those people praying all this time for me. Somebody's praying, I can feel it. Somebody's praying for me. Mighty hands are guiding me to protect me from what I can't see. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Somebody's praying for me. Somebody's praying, I can't feel it. Somebody's praying for me. Mighty hands are guiding me to protect me from what I can't see. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Somebody's praying. Somebody's praying. Somebody's praying. Me.
Thank you very much. That was wonderful. Children, it's your turn to come forward for our children's moment. We'll see. You guys want to come around this way? You guys come on over. There you go. Come on over here. My goodness, where'd you all come from? Holy moly. Come on down. Plenty of room. I guess so. All right. Well, Clay couldn't be here today, but he brought the bag, and he gave it to Trish, who gave it to me, and I have not looked in it on purpose or on accident. I've tried to keep it as secret as possible, okay? So, without any further ado, we have a Ziploc bag full of little blocks, little log cabin type blocks, Lincoln logs, I don't know. I grew up in the suburbs. We didn't have Lincoln logs. We had cinder blocks. So I don't know. So what do you use Lincoln logs for? What do you use them for?
Building.
Building. What do you build? Do you build houses? Yeah? Well, where are we today? Where are we sitting today? What room are we in? Do you know what this is? A sanctuary. Do you know what the sanctuary is? It's the house of God. And this is a place we come together and we meet and we worship. Who do we meet and worship? God, right? And we come together. And there are people that built this place, right? And this building. And as important as this building is, and as much as it is the house of God and a place where we come to gather and worship, the church isn't just a building, is it? But it's the people. It's all of you all that come and worship together. You notice on Sunday mornings, I thank you for bringing the church with you today. I'm not talking about bringing the building, right? Because the building's already here, but you all come and you all are part of the church. And because of that, we have church. And it's concreted in, right? It's very hard to lift. All right. And so heavy, yes. And so today I want us to be mindful that while we come to this place to worship, church is everywhere we go when we're with fellow Christians, okay? Can I give these to you? Okay. There you go. All right. Joel really, really wants the bag bad. Is that all right if I give it to Joel today?
It's okay.
It's all right. I have permission. So, Joel, you're all smiles. I'm going to give you the bag and tell your mom good luck. All right. Now, what are the rules again? You can't put anything that is alive in it, nothing that has been living, and if I don't know what it is, you have to explain it, okay? Don't tell me. Don't tell me. All right. Let's pray, okay? And then you guys can go to Children's Church. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much again for this day that you've given to us, for the opportunity we have to be in your house, Lord, and not just to be in your house, but to be your church. Lord, we thank you for these children, for the opportunity we have each and every day to teach them and also to learn from them. We pray that you would guide and lead them and help them to become the men and women you have called them to be. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, you guys can go to Children's Church. You're going to tell me something? Oh, boy.
We saw a cow die.
Oh, my goodness.
A little cow got sick and died.
All right, you guys.
We saw a little cow got sick and die.
Oh, my goodness.
I'll be reading this morning from Isaiah, the first chapter, first verse, and then verses 10 through 20. I'll be reading from the Common English Bible. The vision about Judah and Jerusalem that Isaiah, Amos' son, saw in the days of Judah's kings, Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. Verses 10 through 20. Hear the Lord's word, you leaders of Sodom. Listen to our God's teaching, people of Gomorrah. What should I think about all your sacrifices, says the Lord? I'm fed up with entirely burnt offerings of rams and the fat of well-fed beasts. I don't want the blood of bulls, lambs, and goats. When you come to appear before me, who asked this from you, this trampling of my temple courts? Stop bringing worthless offerings. Your incense repulses me. New moon, Sabbath, and the calling of an assembly. I can't stand wickedness and celebration. I hate your new moons and your festivals. They have become a burden that I'm tired of bearing. When you extend your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even when you pray for, for a long time, I won't listen. Your hands are stained with blood. Wash, be cleaned. Remove your ugly deeds from my sight. Put an end to such evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Help the oppressed. Defend the orphan. And plead for the widow. Come now, and let's settle this, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they will be white as snow. If they are red as crimson, they will become like wool. If you agree and obey, you will eat the best food of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. The Lord has said this, the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Let us pray this morning. Gracious God, we thank you so very much for this day that you have given to us. Again, for this opportunity we have to gather in your house, to be your church. We give you thanks and praise. We thank you for the hearing and the reading of this, your word, and we pray that it would open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our minds to comprehend, and our hearts to receive. Lord, we pray you would be with the words you have given me. May they be yours and not mine. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. When I was in college, I went to Asbury College. Now it's Asbury University. I lived on Trustees First Main. It was also called, the nickname for it was Crust. And people always ask, why Crust? Well, it's a state of mind, and that's really all you need to know about that. And like all of the other halls in college, boys and girls dorms alike, we would have hall prayer on a weekly basis. We didn't just have RAs, resident assistants, but we also had SLAs, spiritual life assistants or advisors. I'm not quite sure exactly what that stood for. And we would have hall prayer once a week. And my freshman year, Rob was our SLA, and he gathered us all together in his room for our first hall prayer of the year. And he handed out this slip of paper, and on the slip of paper it said, "Be real." And he said, "This is what our time together is going to be called. Be real." He says, "I want you to leave all pretense, all fakeness outside of the doors when we gather together. This is a time for us to come and to share, to be honest, to be faithful to one another and faithful to God." And this morning as we come together, I want to ask us, are we being real with God today? Are we being real with one another? It's important that we not be fake, right? Fakeness is something that people tend to see through rather quickly. And I don't know about you, but fake people drive me nuts. Anyone else, they drive you nuts? I don't know what they're thinking, but what I do know is they say one thing to me and they say something completely different about me later. Everyone, I'm sure, is aware of people like these. If you don't know anybody like this, then it's you. So, something you're going to want to work on. And if you want to ask some of us non-fake people, we'll tell you in all the love that God has granted us with. Authenticity is something extremely important. And it's something that many in our culture and our society believe to be lacking in churches today. I don't know about you, but when I talk to people about church, a lot of them say, "I don't go to church because the people in church are hypocrites." And I answer to them every time they say this, "You're absolutely right. We are hypocrites because we are striving to live to a standard and an ideal that we know we will not be able to reach. We are trying to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. And while we are on the way to perfection, and while we believe we will achieve it, we know that we're going to have to be hypocrites until we get there." Right? We know that we're going to have to say one thing while not always doing it as we wish we could. Paul says it quite confusingly and wonderfully in Romans. "The very thing I want to do, I'm unable to do, but the very thing I hate, that is what I..." It's the real person who will admit that they are in this same place with Paul. I'm sure you're aware of this, but the word hypocrite is actually a Greek word. I've been educated in Greek, and it means mask wearer, someone who wears a mask. And in the ancient times, in this time, and in Jesus' time and Paul's time, the hypocrites were those who wore masks, who entertained the crowds, right? Reliving and re-showing various battles and various famous things that had gone all throughout history. And so a hypocrite was simply someone who wore a mask and pretended to be someone they're not. Anybody here today wearing a mask? Pretending to be someone you're not? I want us to consider our masks today. We've put on our Sunday best when really we feel like anything but that this morning. I want us to consider what masks we wear today. Isaiah, in the very first chapter of his book, goes straight to the heart of God's issue with humanity. God is not fake. And so he tells us exactly what the issue and the problem is right off the bat. Now, in our Bibles, Isaiah is the first of the prophets to be listed in the order of books, right? And so all throughout the rest of the Old Testament, we have the other prophets. In the very first chapter, the very first thing he says and the very first thing he alludes to is, don't be fake. Don't be hypocrites. Don't say one thing and do another. God is angry here in Isaiah. He's angry that we offer him our most heartfelt praise on Sundays, but fail to recognize him on the street corners, Mondays through Saturdays. And I would venture to guess that the vast majority of us have come today genuinely seeking God, but are you genuinely seeking him tomorrow through Saturday as well? If you come here to meet God, that's great, but I hope you know his business is a tent and it moves from place to place. And he is not just found here. How can we dare lift our hands in praise of God when we won't reach those very hands out to people in need? Isaiah cuts to the quick this morning. Paul Duke, one of the commentators in the Feasting on the Word commentary, says, worship unconcerned with justice is obscene. Worship unconcerned with justice, unconcerned with the needs of the other, is obscene. We often relegate worship to a specific time and place instead of a way of life, don't we? Do you worship anywhere? Yes, I worship at Petrie on Sunday mornings at 10. Oh, yeah. Worship anywhere else? Are you content to just let worship be a place and a time on the calendar? That's how we tend to typically think of it, and it's unfortunate, and I think most of the time we don't necessarily mean it that way, but that's kind of how it comes across, isn't it? To the world? To the people we encounter? Do we view our commodities program as a time of worship? I hope so. Because that's what it is. Do we view our time at Hearthstone, visiting, a time of worship? I hope so, because it is. Do we view our Wednesday evening program, our youth and our children's programs, do we view that as worship? I hope so, because it is. What about Celebrate Recovery? Well, that's different, because that doesn't meet in the church building. Well, I'm here to tell you, it absolutely meets with the church because they, like we, are the church. And it is indeed worship. And there are a list of other things that I have yet to probably realize what we do. That is worship. And we do well to remember that. Worship and service, you see, are two sides of the same coin. You can't really have one without the other. You notice that we call this time our worship service, right? They go together, hand in hand. And how quick we are to forget that service aspect. Our worship, when we come together in this place at this time, should be a catalyst to the justice and mercy ministries that we are about. It should be that which encourages us and strengthens us for the work ahead. Sunday isn't a rest from the week that's gone by. It is preparation for the week coming. This is the first day of the week, ladies and gentlemen. We gather in this place at this time on Sundays on the first day of the week because that is where the women gathered. And Jesus wasn't there, was he? Because he had risen. And sometimes Jesus isn't here because he's out there. And we do well to remember that today. Without these acts of grace and justice, our time together on Sundays is obscene. It's fake. It's inauthentic. If you're not involved in the life of the church beyond Sunday morning, you have to ask yourself, is my time here this morning obscene? Is it fake? Is it inauthentic? In a perfect world, this is what I would wish and hope for everyone in here today. I would hope that you would come to worship on a very regular basis, weekly. I would hope that you would be involved in a Bible study of some form or fashion throughout the week, whether that be Sunday school or Wednesday night or some other time where you can get together with others and really kind of get involved and see what is going on in the Bible. And then I would hope that you would be involved in ministries beyond these walls. In a perfect world, that's what I would hope for. The sacrament of Holy Communion that we come together to celebrate today is about as real and authentic as it gets. There's nothing fake on this table today. This is as real as it gets. And Jesus tells us and tells his disciples to do this in remembrance of me. And when we offer ourselves to others, to those who are in need, we are to do that in remembrance of Christ, offering our bodies, spilling our blood so that others may come to know. And this idea and this sacrament of communion really brings verses 18 and 19 to life, I think. Again, he says, come now and let's settle this, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they will be white as snow. If they are red as crimson, they will become like wool. If you agree and obey, you will eat the best food of the land. Ladies and gentlemen, the best food of the land is here today. It is the body and the blood of Christ, the bread and the juice, here to remind us what it means to be real, to be authentic, to be those who call on Christ. In communion, we are called to remember that our God is not fake. What he says, he means. And he is consistent in what he says and in his steadfast love from generation to generation. You notice that Jesus never settled for pretense in his ministry, did he? Leave all pretense at the door. This is time to be real. It is time to be authentic. It is time to do what we have been called to do. God's swift and terrible rebuke of worship should cause us to consider a few things this morning. And let us be reminded that God is the first critiquer of worship. There have been many others after him, but God is the author even of that. The first thing we need to consider is there anything that Petrie does or does not do that disgusts and repulses God? Oof, easy preacher, it's not even noon yet. Is there anything that Petrie does or does not do that repulses and disgusts God? The answer is most likely yes. And it now falls on us to figure out what that may be. How might we turn our hearts so that we're not simply just doing things just to do them? What routines or seasons in the life of Petrie have lost focus or purpose? What are we doing simply because we've always done it that way? Or what are we not doing because we've never done it that way? Now I'm going to make a little aside here. If we're ever in a meeting or you're ever talking to me and you say, preacher, we've never done it that way, well, you've just put a new thing on my agenda to get done. We've never done it that way is obscene. or we've always done it that way, is obscene if there is no focus and no purpose to it. And it will not be tolerated here because God does not tolerate it. Another question we may ask ourselves and consider this morning is, do we know why we do the things that we do? Why do we do the things that we do? Is everyone familiar with our dome up here? Oh my gosh, there's a hole in the ceiling. Some of you are just noticing this for the first time. Is everyone aware of why the dome is here? The dome is meant to represent the heavens, right? The earth is a circle. It's not flat. We realized that a few years ago. It's a circle. It represents the heavens. It represents the throne of God. When I found out I was coming here, I've been in your sanctuary before, and I was like, oh, I'll have a church with a dome in it. I'm so excited. So excited. My brother saw it yesterday, and he was like, why do you have a hole in the wall or in the ceiling? I was like, well, let me tell you. Show up tomorrow, and I'll tell you. He left. Yeah, whatever. The circle, of course, represents the infiniteness, right, of God, the never-ending love and the steadfast love of God. And what I found out this week, which I didn't know before, is that when you have this circle and it is within a square, the square of the sanctuary, representing the four corners of the earth, you have the meeting of heaven and earth. This is meant to make God more real to us today. Anyone ever notice that these things change color from time to time? Do we know why? Because somebody changes them, preacher. We don't. White represents purity. And we have white when we're having communion, when we're having baptism, when we're celebrating various parts of the year. And there's green and purple and red. And they all have significance to them. And they're meant to make God more real to us. Does anyone know why the preacher wears a stole? It's not just a cool accessory to my robe. The stole represents the yoke of Christ. It's the burden I bear as pastor and as shepherd of the flock. This is made out of a towel. I asked my mom if she would do that because the stole also represents the towel Jesus wrapped around his waist as he washed his disciples' feet. And so it reminds me to be a servant, and it should remind you that we are called to service. There are aspects of the sanctuary, rightly so, that draw us to God. And they are there for a reason and a purpose. They are meant to draw us closer to Him and to make Him more real. You'll notice this morning that there is something missing from the altar today. It is the cross. You'll notice it's not, maybe some of you, oh my gosh, the cross is in there. What do we do? Maybe you didn't notice. Maybe you noticed as soon as you walked in the room. Well, the cross and the candles are meant to represent the presence of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the candles represent Father and Holy Spirit. And the cross represents who? Jesus. Thank you for whispering that. Appreciate it. Jesus. And once a month, we have the opportunity of removing the cross and putting the sacrament of Holy Communion on the altar to represent Christ for us. As we celebrate communion, we allow the bread and the juice to represent for us the very real and authentic body and blood of Jesus Christ, broken for us and poured out for us. While the cross symbolizes death, communion represents the grace of that death and the resurrection life which stems from the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. All of this, everything here is meant to make Jesus more real so that we in turn can go and make Jesus real to those who do not know Him. Well, Matt, what if I'm sharing my faith and somebody asks, well, what do you believe? Well, it's really easy. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. What if somebody asked me to pray? In public, in front of other people. Our Father, who art in heaven. All of these things are meant to make God more real so that we can make him more real to others. I want to invite you this morning to be real. And I want to ask you to do it in two very specific ways. First, as we participate and prepare for Holy Communion, I'll ask that you really listen and really read and see the words of institution. What are we saying? And why are we saying it? Get a sense of what this sacrament is all about. How can we apply this to our daily lives? And as in a few moments we welcome some new members officially into the life of Petrie Memorial United Methodist Church, consider and be reminded what you, members of this church or other United Methodist churches, have covenanted to do as members. What you have agreed to, what you have said you would do. Are you being the real disciple Jesus has called you to be this morning? I hope so. I pray that that is the case. Let us not be fake this morning. Let us strive to be as real and authentic as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is. Amen. As we prepare to celebrate the sacrament of Holy Communion, we will ask those who are assisting or are planning